A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 Fit Talmud. Yevamos Daf Dalet, Yevamos 4a, pagination page 7, but we will start on the facing page towards the bottom, so we're on Gimel Amud Beis, where we learnt yesterday that there is a comparison with the word Aleha to the word Aleha from Achos Isha, the sister of one's wife, to the case of Aleha by Yevama, telling us that if the woman designated in Yibum is a prohibited relation, then he should not do Yibum with her. The Gemara now wants to know, why would I have thought that they should do Yibum, that you need a comparison of Aleha to tell you that you don't? This is classic Gemara, where it's not enough that we all arrive at the right conclusion, which is, don't do Yibum if the girl, the woman, is your daughter, or the wife, the wife's sister, a prohibited relationship. It's not enough that we all agree that you shouldn't do it. The question is, why did you need a special limud, a special word, aleha, to tell you that you shouldn't do it? Shouldn't it be obvious? Let's review the case. We have a person who has brothers, and he dies without children. That's the case of Yibum, because he has a wife, and that wife could be married through the act of Yibum to one of the living brothers. The problem that we're encountering is that she is related to the prospective living brother that might marry her, and therefore, it seems from the Gemara that the first reaction is you could do Yibum anyway. Comes along a special pasuk and tells you, Aleha, Aleha, that the prohibition remains in force even in the place of a mitzvah. And therefore, Achos Ishto, sister of your wife, is going to remain prohibited even if she's the Yevama. And by extension, a daughter is going to remain prohibited even if she's the Yevama, and so on with all 15 examples that our Mishnah gave us. Again, the question of the Gemara is, why do you need a special limud to tell you that she remains prohibited even though there's a mitzvah of Yibum? She was prohibited, she should remain prohibited. What does the mitzvah of Yibum have to do with anything to permit her? Mitzvah of Yibum will only permit the very essence of Yibum, which is your brother's wife. That's the essence of Yibum, to marry your brother's wife, even though until now, brother's wife was prohibited. But all other arayas, who would have thought that they become permitted? And the Gemara introduces over here a principle called Asei Docha Losase, that there are cases where a positive command can outweigh a negative command, a prohibition. The way the Mefarshim explain it is not that it actually outweighs it, it's that the Torah itself was telling us that when you have a conflict between an Asei and a Losase, the Asei is what the Torah wants you to do. Let's see how the Gemara phrases it. Gimel Amud Beis 3b, pagination 6, about 6 lines up. Hava Amina, hey Aleph. That's where we'll start. Hava Amina, I would have thought, Achos Isha Miyavemes, that you're allowed to marry the sister of your wife in an application of Yibum. My taima, why? the Amrinon, because we have a principle that says, Osi asei vidochi lo saasei. A positive command comes and pushes away the prohibition. So over here, we have a mitzvah asei of yibum, yivama yavo aleha, and we have a lo saasei of achos ishto, a forbidden relationship. So the Gemara is suggesting that we would have thought that you push away the forbidden relationship in favor of the mitzvahs asei, which needs to be done. Now, if we wouldn't have particular guidance as to how to proceed, our answer probably would have been sheva al taisa. You can't take action. If you have a mitzvah to do, but the only way to do it is by doing something prohibited, you can't do it. You're stuck. A person, for example, cannot steal someone else's tefillin because he's galvanized and he needs to do the mitzvah of tefillin. The only reason we would be allowed to borrow someone else's tefillin to do the mitzvah is because we assume nichole le'inish leved mitzvah b'mamonei. A person is pleased to have a mitzvah done through his assets. And we're assured that had we asked him, he would have agreed. But to go steal in order to do a mitzvah, you're not allowed to do. But if we're actually told that the mitzvah saseh pushes away the mitzvah lo saseh, then we would have considered that perhaps the forbidden relationship gets an override, so to speak. And that's what the word aleha came to tell me, that we do not override the forbidden relationship. The Gemara questions the application of this principle, asei docha lo saasei. Emer de amrinan asi asei vedochi lo saasei. When would you say that a mitzvah saasei pushes away a lo saasei? And as some of the mefarshim point out, because an asei is an act of love, and lo saasei is an act of restraint, of fear, and love is perhaps greater, reaches greater heights. And perhaps that's the reason that the Torah guided us in this way. But in any case, that's only a lo saaseh greda, when you have an ordinary lo saaseh, an ordinary prohibition. But lo saaseh sheyesh bo kares, but if you have a lo saaseh that's a heavyweight, that the punishment for it is described as cutting the person off from his spiritual source, midachi, would you go so far as say that asei pushes away a lo saaseh? And the Gemara launches into a discussion that spans a number of pages over here into understanding asei, docha lo saaseh, and what the parameters for that principle would be. I'd like only to touch on it, and that will get us onto today's daf. Lo sase greda minolan dedochi. What exactly is the source that asei is docha a lo saaseh, that a positive command can override a negative command? And by identifying such an example, we'll be able to understand the principle a little bit more clearly. Dichsiv, today's daf, as it says, lo silbash shatnez, you should not wear shatnez, a mixture of wool and linen. Nevertheless, the next pasuk tells us, gedilim ta'aselecha, you shall make tzitzis. And this teaches us that you would be allowed to make tzitzis, which, if they're done correctly with tcheles, are going to be made out of wool. You're allowed to make tzitzis of wool, even for a linen garment. You'll ask, but that's shatnez. Tying wool threads onto a linen garment is shatnez. But this pasuk teaches us you should not wear shatnez. Nevertheless, you're allowed to make tzitzis in all applications, even when the wool will be going on a linen garment, because asei docha lo sasei. The positive command of tzitzis is going to override the prohibition of shatnez. Likewise, the Gemara mentions a case called mila bitzara'as. Circumcision, if that location on the baby's body has tzara'as, the ailment that is erroneously translated as leprosy, because it seems to have a similar description, but tzara'as was a spiritual caused skin ailment, not a contagious type of disease. And the case is that they want to do the mila on a location of the body that has tzara'as. Normally, you're not allowed to scrape off the tzara'as. There's a prohibition to do that. In this case, since he's doing the mitzvah of mila, he's allowed to, because the mitzvah of mila, which is a mitzvah saseh, pushes away the mitzvah lo saseh of not removing tzara'as. The Stei Chemed points out that you have to be very careful with asei docha lo saseh, because sometimes if the dichui is not correct, and this is very advanced Talmudic literature, you're actually walking into something called a mitzvah ba ba'avera, a mitzvah that was brought about through a sin, and that mitzvah is not correct. So we only want to apply mitzvah saseh docha, mitzvah lo saseh, if indeed that was the implication of the Torah that they should override. One final case, which is discussed in the poskim and is actually applicable, is the case of Chadosh regarding matzah on Pesach. We know that there's a law which certainly applies in Eretz Yisrael and is a discussion if it applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, called Chadosh, not to eat from the new grain until the second day of Pesach. The question, therefore, is if someone made matzah from the new crop of grain and he wants to use it on the first night of Pesach as matzah, would he be allowed to? And it's a very relevant question, at least historically speaking, because sometimes they ran out of grain or the grain got wormy and they couldn't use it, and they wanted to use the new crop of grain to make matzah. But what do you do on the first night of Pesach? So there's a case discussed by the Stei Chemed, quoting the poskim, where the only matzah that was available was chadosh, was from the new crop. And they invoke this concept, perhaps, of asei docha lo saseh, the positive command to eat matzah on the night of Pesach could override the prohibition of eating from the new grain. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.